Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Vina Concha y Toro's 4Q15 results conference call. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded, and all participants will be in listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a question-and-answer session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach an operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Vina Concha y Toro's management and on information currently available of the company. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Vina Concha y Toro and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Sebastián Yarrázaval, Planning Officer, and Mr. Patricio Garrison, Head of Investor Relations. You may begin your conference.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for your time and being attending the earnings call of Vina Concha y Toro. We will start reviewing the company's results for the fourth quarter of 2015 and the year ended in December 31st of 2015. Initiating the reviewing of 2015 results, we would like to highlight the main milestone for the fourth quarter of 2015. Then after, we will go through the results for the 12 months of 2015. For the fourth quarter, it stands out the growth of 8.1% registering consolidated sales in value, higher commercialized volumes of 3.4% considering the tough comparison base set in the fourth quarter of 2014, the expansion of EBITDA margin of 62 basis points reaching at 16.2% as percentage over sales, an increase of 33.9% in the net income, and the last but not least, the premiumization of our sales, where premium segments grew 11% and 17% in export market and domestic market from Chile, respectively. As we mentioned, the total sales increased 8.1%, totaling 192 billion. The growth is explained by higher commercialized volumes of 3.4% and a positive impact derived from the exchange rate fluctuations. At operating level, the company income totaled almost 25 billion during the quarter, registering an increase of 15.4% regarding the fourth quarter of 2014. In the same line, the EBITDA registered 31.2 billion, explained by higher commercialized volumes and net positive impact derived from exchange rate fluctuations and a lower cost of wine, which started to be recognized in our results during the third quarter of 2015. The EBITDA margin reached 16.2%, representing an expansion of 62 basis points in comparison with the fourth quarter of 2014. Finally, the net income amounted 18.1 billion during the quarter, representing an increase of 33.9% in comparison to the fourth quarter of 2014. The higher income explained by the mentioned effects and a higher non-operating income coming from the exchange difference. During December, the Argentine government devalued the Argentine peso, and considering that we had certain exposure and liabilities to the Argentine peso, the devaluation had a positive impact over our results. In slide five, regarding the composition of our sales during the quarter in terms of value, all of our markets registered growth. In terms of volume, the performance was mixed. Stand out the increase of 14.5% in sales in the Chilean domestic market, where sales amounted 17.4 billion of Chilean peso, driven by higher commercialized volume of 6.4%, totaling 1.8 million 9-liter cases, and a higher average sales price of 7.4% in Chilean peso. At the same time, sales of premium segment registered an increase of 30% in volume regarding the fourth quarter of 2014. Sales of new business, including the distribution of spirits, premium beers, energy drinks, and mineral water, rose 23.6%, driven by a 15.6% expansion in volume, in line with the premiumization in the consumption of these categories. Sales in export market increased 5.3%, totaling 131 billion of Chilean pesos, explained by higher commercialized volumes of 1% and a positive impact derived from exchange rate fluctuations. Highlight the growth in Asia, Canada, and United States. It is remarkable that the 1% of growth was achieved over the historical fourth quarter of 2014. In that quarter, we registered an increase in volumes of 14.7%, keeping the trend of growth in export markets. Sales in the Argentina subsidiary, Trivento Bodegas y Viñedos, including shipments to our distribution subsidiaries, increased 42% in volume and 19% in volume, driven by higher average sales price in export and domestic markets, an important increase in export to United Kingdom. Sales in the U.S. subsidiary, Fetzer Vineyards, including shipments to our distribution subsidiaries, increased 13.7% in value, driven by higher commercialized volume of 2% and a positive impact derived from exchange rate fluctuations. In slide 6, regarding accumulated results for the year ending in December 31st of 2015, we can see a 9.1% of growth in consolidated sales, higher commercialized volumes of 3.4%, and a positive impact derived from exchange rate fluctuations explained the increase in sales. Regarding the composition of our sales during 2015, in terms of value, all of our markets registered growth. In terms of volume, the performance was mixed. Stand out the increase of 8.5% in sales in the Chilean domestic markets, where sales amounted 65 billion of Chilean peso, driven by higher commercialized volume of 4.9%, totaling 7.3 million 9-liter cases, and a higher average sales price of 3.3% in Chilean pesos. At the same time, sales of premium segment registered an increase of 21% in volume regarding 2014. Sales of new business, including the distribution of spirits, premium beers, energy drinks, and mineral waters, rose 15.2%, driven by an expansion of 8.1% in volume, in line with the premiumization in the consumption of these categories. Sales in export market increased 7.6%, totaling 426 billion of Chilean pesos, explained by higher commercialized volume of 3.9%, and a positive impact derived from exchange rate fluctuations. I'll highlight the growth registered in countries where Viña Conchitoro distributes its wines. In United Kingdom, bottle sales increased 5%, 21% in Brazil, 5% in Nordic countries that gather Sweden, Norway, and Finland, and 16% in Mexico. It is remarkable that the 3.9% of growth was achieved over the historical 2014, where volumes grew 10%, keeping the trend of growth in export markets. The bad news came from Eastern Europe, which was impacted by complex economic scenario, impacting negatively the export sales to these countries, based on the strong depreciation of local currencies against the U.S. dollar. Sales in the Argentinian subsidiary, Trivento Bodegas y Viñedos, including shipments to our distribution subsidiaries, increased 39.7% in value and 19.2% in volume, driven by higher commercialized volume in export markets of 23% and domestic market of 7.5%, and a higher average prices in both markets. It stands out sales of Trivento in United Kingdom, market where Trivento sells the top-selling Malbec and at least duplicated volume in United Kingdom during 2015. Sales in the U.S. subsidiary, Fetzer Vineyards, including shipments to our distribution subsidiaries, increased 12.5% in value, driven by higher commercialized volumes in export market of 8.5% and a positive impact derived from exchange rate fluctuations. It is important to highlight that in the first quarter of 2015, Fetzer volumes dropped 26% due to an increase in prices that was took during that quarter. After this important drop, volumes recovered and Fetzer volume registered consecutive growth of 5.9%, 5.9%, and 2.4% in the second, third, and fourth quarters, respectively. Regarding export markets, including export from Chile, Argentina, and the United States, total sales increased 7.9%, totaling 450 billion of Chilean pesos. Higher commercialized volumes of 3.5%, a positive impact derived from exchange rate fluctuations and the premiumization of our sales drove the growth during 2015. In line with the trend that we have seen in the past years, sales in premium and upper categories are growing at two-digit growth. It is important to highlight the growth that Casillero El Diablo, a truly global brand with presence in more than 145 countries, has had in the last years. During 2015, Casillero El Diablo registered a growth of 13% in commercialized volumes, totaling sales of 5 million of 9-liter cases. Casillero El Diablo is the largest brand in terms of volume within the premium portfolio, where the growth registered year by year has been giving us the positioning and the growth effectiveness among the most important markets for the company. In terms of average prices in U.S. dollars, they dropped 9% during 2015, impacted by the strong appreciation of the U.S. dollar against the currencies which our products are sold. In slide 9, regarding export from Chile, based on the growth registered in 2015, we maintain the leadership over the Chilean export. As of December 31st of 2015, Viña Conchitoro obtained a 33.3% of market share in terms of bottle exports. Additionally, if we include the bulk wine that we exported to United Kingdom to be bottled in destination, we reach a 35.7% of the market share. During 2015, the main destination for Chilean bottled wine exports were, in first place, United States with 13% of the total export, second place, United Kingdom with 12% of total export, in third place, Japan with 11% of total export, fourth place, China with 10% of total export, fifth place, Brazil with 8% of total export, and the sixth one, Netherlands with 6% of total export. And the rest as follow in the figure at the right in slide 9. Going to slide 10, and over the Chilean export, the nation leadership can be seen in the figure disclosed by destination, where Viña Conchitoro has the leading position in most of the main destinations of Chilean exports, excluding Ireland and China. The case of China is interesting, considering that we are the third Chilean exporter of bottle of wine to China. We have the top-selling important brand in the Chinese market, which is Casillero del Diablo, the statistic given by Wine Intelligence during 2015. Moving forward into the Chilean domestic market, and after several years where the consumption of wine dropped year after year during 2015, and according to AC Nielsen, sales of wine reached an inflection point, registering an increase of 4.4% in terms of volume. Within the Chilean domestic market, Viña Conchitoro rose 4.9% in commercialized volumes to our clients, while the depletion sales to the final consumer registered an expansion of 8.1% according to AC Nielsen. During 2015, we started to recover the market share that we lost in 2013 and 2014, registering an increase of 100 basis points, positioning Conchitoro very close to the second place. Total sales in value amounted 65 billion of Chilean peso, representing a higher sales of 8.5%. The increase in sales is explained by 4% of growth in volume and a higher average price of 3.3%. In parallel, the premiumization of our sale kept the trend registered an increase of 21% of commercialized volumes in the premium and upper categories. As a total, premium categories represented 8.3% and 30.2% in terms of volume and value over the total sales in the Chilean domestic market. In slide 12, and according to the rating of our sales, the figure shows the following disclosure. 67% of the total sales in value correspond to export market from Chile, which includes sales that were carried out by our distribution subsidiaries. 18% of the total sales correspond to the Chilean domestic market, wine and the distribution of products different from wines. 4% of the total sales correspond to Trivento Bodegas y Viñedos, Argentinian subsidiary. And the last 10% of the total sales correspond to Fetzer Vineyards Sales, our California subsidiary. The mention disclosed reflects and shows the export focus of Viña Conchitoro. Ending the reviewing of Conchitoro sales, we can realize how the strategy of being in the market with a more effective presence through the distribution of our wines has been acquiring a major relevance. As of December 31st of 2015, approximately 68% of the total volume commercialized was carried out through Viña Conchitoro's distribution subsidiaries, in comparison to the 56% registered in 2009. In slide 14, regarding the operating performance, the EBITDA increased 12.3%, totaling 94.6 billion of Chilean pesos, representing a milestone in the history of Viña Conchitoro. The registered growth in value was accompanied by a margin expansion of 43 basis points, reaching a 14.9% of EBITDA margin. The higher EBITDA is explained by the growth in sales mentioned in the first part of this presentation, a lower cost of wine coming from the 2015 harvest, and a positive effect derived from exchange rate fluctuations. In slide 15, and during 2015, the net income reached 49.8 billion of Chilean pesos, representing an increase of 15.7% in comparison to 2014. The growth in the net income was driven by effects previously mentioned and a better non-operating income coming from a higher participation of income of associates and joint ventures due to higher income registered in Excelsior Wine Company, our importer in U.S. for the Chilean and Argentinian portfolio, and lower losses coming from readjustment units where the exposure to the U.S., a Chilean currency in Chilean pesos adjusted by inflation, which our bonds were issued, was substantially diminished. In slide 17, and moving to the final financial position of the company, as of December 31st of 2015, the company reached a leverage of 1.17 times, up from the leverage registered in 2014 due to the appreciation of the U.S. dollar against the Chilean peso. In terms of financial debt, we have higher exposure to the U.S. dollar, and this impacted negatively the leverage. We also reached an improvement of the net financial debt over EBITDA ratio, reaching 2.17 times compared to the 2.57 times registered in 2014. Regarding the two covenants that we are subject to comply, we can see that there is still a margin in leverage, which has a covenant of 1.4 times as maximum, as well as the coverage of financial costs, which has a covenant of 2.5 times as minimum. In slide 18, the financial debt, excluding derivatives and interest accrued, total 232 billion of Chilean pesos, with a higher exposure to U.S. dollar, 54%, U.S., 23%, and Chilean pesos, 18%. Finally, regarding the maturities that we have to face in 2016 and upcoming years, there are concentrated between 2016 to 2018. Mainly, these maturities come from the acquisition of Fetzer in 2011. The entire acquisition was financed with debt. According to the past and the current interest rate, it has been beneficial for the company to hedge the exposure of assets denominated in U.S. dollar using the debt incurred in 2011. This is a natural hedging strategy for assets denominated in U.S. dollars. Operator, now we can move to the Q&A section.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone at this or any time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question that you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. The first question is from Jose Rizardo of BTG. Please go ahead.
So guys, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. I have two. The first one is regarding your premium mix, which has been playing a key role on improving your operational results. So, I mean, could you give us more color on that? I mean, how do you see the premium mix in terms of total sales evolve in the future, let's say in 3 years? And what are the main initiatives on this front? And my second question is about 2016 grape harvest. I mean, latest data points and projections are pointing to another grape harvest. And I would like to have, like, what you guys are seeing on this, and if it's fair to assume that grape costs will be even lower this year than it was in 2015. Thank you.
Well, Jose, thank you for your question. Regarding premium sales, we have been registering this two-digit growth in the export market as well in the domestic market since many years. We expect to keep this trend in terms of how we have been calling this premonition, I think that the growth that Casillero del Diablo has been having the past year has been the key issue here. We have been liberating the export, the premium sales, especially in export market, through the sales of Casillero del Diablo. We also have other brands like Marqués de Casaconcha, Terruño, the Bonterra Portfolio, Don Melchor, and many other premium brands, which has lower volumes, but has been also supporting the premiumization of the most premium brands that we have over the export markets. So currently, in terms of volume, premium sales as total of as percentage of the total sales in terms of volume represent close to 30% of the volume, total volume of the company, and in terms of value, they are very close to 40-45%. It makes sense to think in a couple of years to be in terms of volume close to 40%, and in terms of value close to 50-55% of the over the total sales of the company. And regarding the 2016 harvest, I think that is still uncertainty. We are in the middle of 2016 harvest. The market is expecting to have something between the historical volume that we reached in 2015 and maybe a 10% lower harvest in terms of volume. Regarding prices, it will depend on the scenario and how the volumes will be. If we kept the same volume of 2015, maybe there will be a space or room to have a decrease in prices. But we are expecting that volumes should be lower than the last year's, and maybe there will be a small pressure over the cost after the end of the harvest of 2016. I think that the last scenario is more probably than the first one.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Sergio Matsumoto of Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good morning. I just like to focus on the exports trend, specifically on Fetzer's exports growth. Do you think that this type of growth that we just saw can keep going? And where are the key markets for Fetzer growth in 2016? And whether those are the same as the ones that grew in the fourth quarter? Thanks.
Hi, Sergio. The export of Fetzer, there's one very big market from the U.S. wine in that in the foreign countries, that is Canada. We have our biggest destination from the U.S. winery outside the U.S. We expect that the position in this country is still growing in the future years. We also see an opportunity in the Nordic countries. In the last year, we have a very good year in mainly in Sweden with all the organic wines that we produce in the U.S. And also, we are going through our network in all the world in order to reach this extra volume from the U.S. market. To the next in this year in 2016, we expect growth in the Nordic countries, mainly in the rest of the Europe, also in Latin America and Canada.
Okay. And just another question is on related, is how is the U.S. Wine industry growth outlook for this year?
In the last year in the U.S., internal consumption of wine, we see two mainly effects. One is still growing, not a big rate, it's something like 3% of growth in volumes, but we saw a premiumization of the consumption of the wine, and you see a very interesting rate of growth in the $5 and upper per bottle categories of wine. So we, from this year and the next year, we expect that this trend continue in the U.S. market.
Okay, great. Thanks very much.
The next question is from Jose Jordan of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys. Just have a quick follow-up on the question about the harvest volume. Is the level of inventories of wine left from last year still a factor that might mitigate any price pressure from a lower harvest this year? Is that something that can cushion? I think we had spoken about that a few months ago, but just checking to see that was still the case. The second is just a more general question about the European market. Versus a year or two ago, how do you see the exports from the three big producing countries competing against you? Is the competition gotten worse, or has it begun to improve in the particular scenario of Europe?
Well, regarding the harvest question, as you said, the Chilean wine industry has very high levels of inventories. At the end of 2015, the existing inventories of the wine industry reached 1,200 million liters. That is equal to the very close to the volume harvest of 2015, 13, and 12. So I think that if there is any drop in terms of volume for this harvest, and these inventory levels obviously will mitigate in some way the increase, an important increase in prices for the cost of the grape that we will be purchasing from the market. And regarding the second one, it's true that you have to in mind that the European, the three main exporters, the big producer of wine, France, Italy, and Spain, has been competing in an important way in Europe. We, as Chile, as new world producer, we mostly are competing with the other new world producer, specifically Australia. I think that Australia is our main competitor, and obviously we are, as Viña Conchitoro, we are competing with the other Chilean wineries. I don't think that we are competing directly with the European wineries.
Okay. Thank you so much.
The next question is from Daniela Iger of Bradesco. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thank you for taking my question. I want to ask you about your subsidiaries distribution. I've seen that the volumes are basically have stabilized around the 66 to 67% of your volume since 2012. I'd like to know if you see any additional room for expanding that share of your volumes. And also, you currently have two commercial offices, one in China and one in South Africa. I'd like to know how the potential of that market is turning out to be, and if you see enough growth potential to justify opening distribution subsidiaries there. And that's it. Thanks.
Daniela, regarding the sales that are carrying out by the distribution subsidiaries, by now, as you said, has been reaching normalized volumes close to these 68%. I think that there is still space to grow. You have to consider that we started opening our distribution network since 2008, and there is still space or room, to growth in terms of volume, because our distribution subsidiaries are getting mature over the markets that they are supplying. So I think that this, without opening new distribution subsidiaries, this 68% could increase in the upcoming years. Not in an important percentage, but I think that you could add a couple of points to there. And regarding the opening new distribution subsidiaries and the current status of our commercial offices, we have presence in South Africa and China with these commercial offices, because the trends and the way that the distribution is carried out in these countries is kind of complex. By now we have entered into this market in a middle stage, which is the commercial office. Our people, based on South Africa and China, has been giving support to the local distributors that we are using in order to carry out our sales in those countries. So they are trying to align the strategies, trying to align the portfolio of the distributor with the portfolio of Viña Contidoro, and try to implement more effectively the strategies that we as Contidoro have for our sales and the positioning of our wines. And answering the last part of your question, we are always evaluating how can we improve our performance in each market. So maybe in the future we could open a new distribution subsidiary if we believe that we can do better things than our current distributors there. But for now, this is the distribution network that we have, and we are using our best effort in order to consolidate this distribution network.
Okay, thanks. That's great.
The next question is from Barbara Angerstein of Itaú BBA. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for the call. I was just wondering if you could give us a little bit of an idea of what is going on with your operation in Argentina. Are you seeing a higher flexibility in operating there? Is there any chance to recover the exports that had been declining in Argentina over the last couple of years in the near term? What's your feeling for that operation? Thanks.
Well, I think that with the change in the government and the policies that they have been implementing, especially with the removal of the exchange rate control, I think that the export markets will recover the importance for the Argentinian subsidiary. So for this year, we should be expecting to recover growth in interesting growth for that operation. Specifically, in talking about the UK, the Argentinian portfolio in UK, as we said before, has been registering important growth. By now, we have the top-selling Malbec and the Trivento portfolio, specifically the premium portfolio, has been obtaining a good reception for, or perception from the British consumers.
Okay, thank you.
There are no additional questions at this time. This concludes our question and answer session. Thank you. This concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect your line at this time and have a nice day.